2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, you better do so before the prices go up on this damn thing. Use a promo code PODCAST to get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get access to our, which should be award-winning, Domination Station, which can spit out up to 150 lineups at once for you with the click of a button. Also VIP projections and all sorts of great things, not just for NBA folks. This is for NFL as well. All the different sports that we have on the schedule as well. You get that. So once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST gets you 20% off each month of your subscription. Check us out on Twitter. My name's Al Walsh. You can find me there at 14a.walsh. Keith Hall joins me as always. Find him at Boomer's DFS Daddy. Here we are on a Monday, maybe a little tired, a little sluggish from all the great sports that we watched last night, including that World Series game. 5 hours and 17 minutes of just damn downright American clean fun.
Yeah, except for the fact that I used the analogy last night that I had heard a former Rockies pitcher on Twitter say, it's like throwing baseballs in Denver pre-humidor.
Oh.
That's what they've compared these World Series balls to. I mean, Lance McCullers basically took the Coke taste test, right?
Sure.
Where you blindfold yourself, you choose
between Coke. I don't know where we're going with this, but okay.
You blindfold yourself, you choose between Coke and Pepsi just off the taste test.
That Coke. Okay. Yes. Okay.
All right. He basically did a blindfold and he felt the regular season ball and the World Series ball and he picked it out. You shouldn't be able to pick it out.
Interesting.
You should not
be
able to.
I didn't see this. I got to check this out. But now, did he do it just one time or were there multiple takes on this?
I'm guessing it was probably just multiple times. But I mean, okay. There have been like 15 different pitchers that have said that, like Yu Darvish said that he can't throw a slider. The home run that Verlander allowed in game one to Jock Peterson, that was on a slider. They're saying that they can't. They don't have – they're slicker. They're harder. Right. And we were getting these complaints about the balls during the regular season. Now we're getting them even more about – and, like, okay, I can give you one game in Los Angeles where it's, like, you know, 100 degrees outside. The ball's right. Going to fly. You know, I don't care how big that park is. But, you know, there's – I can see a 7-5 game, a 7-6. I don't want to see a 13-12 game.
Yeah. I mean, it is fun, you know, to watch these things. It's visually appealing. But, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I never thought, you know, when you talk about the baseballs and, you know, Darvish not being able to throw a slider, I never looked at it from that perspective. I always just looked at it like, oh, the balls are just flying further. But, yeah, these pitchers not being able to throw their, you know, bread and butter pitches, not getting enough movement on it, that certainly – makes it an easier ball to hit. I never even thought about it like that.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes it harder, and that's why Coors Field put the humidor in, was to put some moisture back in the ball to allow them to be a little bit more softer so the ball didn't fly quite as far. Well, when pitchers are comparing it to pre-humidor days in Denver, you've got an issue. And the fact that Major League Baseball, like, the fact that they just didn't come out and say, yeah, you know what? We made the balls differently because we want to up the viewership of the World Series, you know, especially on a Sunday night when we're having to go against Sunday Night Football. It's just come out and tell us. We're not dumb. We know that you did it. Just admit that you did it. Take your bashing and go about it. if you admit that you did it, we're going to be able to accept it a lot sooner and quicker, and it's not going to be that big of a story. So, I don't know. I think Rob Manfred, like, I didn't like Bud Selig. I think Rob Manfred's creating a whole another can of worms that he probably shouldn't be creating, so.
Interesting. It's a great day of football as well yesterday. I mean, headlined by the Houston Texans-Seattle Seahawks game. I know a lot of people in the Army yesterday had exposure to Richardson and Lockett yesterday from the Seahawks. So good news for them. Had a lot of big wins yesterday all over, not only NBA or not only NFL, but NBA as well on a Sunday. I neglected to play that slate, and I was just taking a look this morning at what everybody did last night. Holy bananas. I mean, I knew what Tim Hardaway, I knew what Porzingis did, you know, just because I'm in the market, but huge numbers last night from a lot of these guys. So we will look to carry that into today. Make sure that we find the guys that are bouncing all these big plays off for everybody. But 9 games on today's slate. Very excited to dig into it. Let's just rock right into it right now. We got San Antonio Spurs at the Boston Celtics. Celtics 3.5-point favorites here. Had a total that started at 199, has since moved majorly down all the way to 191.5. Spurs have won 4 straight games against the Celtics. Covering 3 of those 4. And 3 of the last 4 Celtics-Spurs games have actually gone over the total. But it's a total like tonight. Should be easy to hit. Keyword should. The fact that the total has moved down so many points is certainly disheartening. When we look at the Spurs tonight, they are on the back end of a back-to-back. They were at Indiana yesterday. This is also a 3-4 and a 4-6 situation for them tonight. So not good at all. In terms of injuries, Kawhi Leonard, Tony Parker, Joffrey LaVerne all out today with their individual ailments. And the only injury for the Celtics is still Marcus Morris, who's out with that knee injury. It looks like you got to give the Celtics the advantage here, but we know Spurs ball. They ain't just going to lay down and die for anybody.
No, they're not. It's kind of one of those things. They got burned by Victor Oladipo last night. Does Victor Oladipo love playing in Indiana or what?
It would certainly appear that way, and I kind of want to smack myself in the head a little bit, just because, you know, beginning of the season, we don't know who the lead dog in this offense is going to be. Well, there it is. I think it only took one game to realize that it was going to be him. But
this is his town, his team. I think it was a good move to get him there. I never liked him in Orlando. I didn't mind him in Oklahoma City. But he wasn't the right second fiddle type guy to Russ. So I do really like Victor Oladipo in Indiana. But Indiana's not on the slate, so we're going to spend about 5 more seconds on him. I'm happy for Depot. So this game right here is I really don't know what to do with this game. It might be, honestly, just a stay away for me. Kyrie Irving's price has dropped down to 8,200 on FanDuel. Al Horford might be the way to go. He's still 6,800. And he's going to put up over 30 minutes. But he hasn't been too fun to roster lately.
No.
I mean, Kyle Anderson's still cheap if you want to take a shot there. But I mean, just looking at some of the DVP numbers on points per position allowed, San Antonio is towards the bottom as far as point guard points, and so is Boston. In fact, the only glaring weaknesses that these two teams have as far as fantasy points allowed per position, the shooting guard to the San Antonio Spurs, which is weird because they have Danny Green.
And that was something even last year that teams were able to do against the Spurs.
I know, but I thought it was because Danny Green was injured. Maybe I remembered wrong. And then Boston at the small forward position. 40, they're each allowing over 42 points per game to those positions. So this might be might be where we can attack if we choose to. So that would mean, Boston doesn't have a true shooting guard. So
Jaylen Brown action for the people.
The question is how many minutes is Marcus Smart going to play, because he's going to have to because of the defense. Terry Rozier maybe. He's still 4,200. It's just, this is almost like a stay away for me.
The fact honestly. That we're struggling to come up with plays from this game should say everything that we need to know.
Oh, exactly.
Look, there's a lot of like big names in this game, and that's it's an interesting thing. First game of the night, right? Probably gonna have a little more ownership than we should probably see. But I just look at this total. The fact that it dropped so many points. I mean, this has to be the biggest total drop in the NBA season so far this season. So. That alone kind of does it for me. You got the Spurs who, are wrapping up this road trip. It looks like just a really bad situation for them. And I wanted to make sure that I was seeing things right, but Boston's playing pretty good team defense. So again, there's probably just not a lot of room for guys in this game.
Yeah. And does that shock us right now? Honestly, like, we've talked about Boston and wings and being a good defensive team, in the backcourt for years now. Like, it's where guards and wings went to die, even with Isaiah Thomas and, still in there. And now Kyrie Irving's a better defender, but I wouldn't say he's an elite defender. He's competent, maybe.
Sure.
As far as personal one-on-one DRPM numbers, which I still can't get out or get a good read on right now because they're so freaking raw. But Marcus Smart's one of the elite wing defenders in the NBA.
Sure.
And we used to be able to attack Boston down low. We can't do that anymore. Like, it's Boston right now is like, they're allowing 47.5 fantasy points per game to centers. But on the grand scheme of things, that's not great. That's in the lower third of the NBA. I mean, that's...
The thing that I have an issue with DVP already is, like, for instance, the Celtics in their last game, they played Miami. Well,
Hassan Whiteside was out.
Right. So they don't really have a true center in their lineup, and that goes against that DVP. That brings the number down some. So, whereas overall, you have guys like Kelly Olynyk and James Johnson, yeah, they're playing the center, but all their points go to the power forward position on DVP.
Well, even if you do that, overall, these are two, like, if you talk about total FanDuel points allowed to the opposing team per game, these are two of the top three. Boston's one and San Antonio's three.
Now, in terms of allowing the fewest, you mean?
Yes, the fewest.
Yes. All right, so I wanted to clear that
and
up.
And Portland's right in there between it. And actually, San Antonio's tied with Oklahoma City and just ahead of Memphis. And they're all ahead of Utah. So, I mean, when we talk about this, this is where we can start to say, okay, are these numbers real? Or are these numbers going to come back to normality? And I think for San Antonio, they're definitely real. We've seen this for the last 50 million years, since the freaking Mesozoic era. But with Boston, this is something new. And I love Brad Stevens as a coach. I think he's a phenomenal coach. Sure. He's in college, in NBA, whatever. If it's not like Jaylen Brown's price is not bad, but it's not great, Kyle Anderson, Jason Tatum, he's below 6K again, Marcus Smart's expensive. I mean, it honestly for me would be an Al Horford, Kyrie Irving combo pairing type thing.
Right.
In tournaments. Other than that, I'm probably going to stay away from this game altogether.
Yeah, doing the initial 10 lineup, three unique search query in the domination station today. The only guy from this game that popped up multiple times was Kyrie Irving, and that was three times. I forget which site. I think it was on both sites. He popped up around there, but it was three. He popped up three times on the FanDuel calculations. So, yeah. Again, that price has come down on him, so I could certainly see it for tournaments. And, that's probably where I'm going to be. I like LaMarcus Aldridge. I like Pau Gasol in this matchup, but the fact that, you know, back end, back to back, 3-4, 4-6, all that certainly takes most of the appeal out of it. So, all right. Anything else from this one? We moving? We rolling?
Yeah, we're mobile.
Picture me rolling. All right. Denver Nuggets at the New York Knicks. Nuggets 4.5-point favorites here with a total 211.5. Nuggets have won four straight games against the Nuggets and covered. Or I'm sorry, the Nuggets have won. Yeah, four straight games against the Knicks and have covered all four of those games. For the Nuggets, you got Juancho Hernangómez still out with the illness. And then for the Knicks, Ron Baker questionable with the ankle injury. Joakim Noah still out with a suspension. Both of these teams are on the back end of a back-to-back. Denver was at Brooklyn yesterday, so, you know, they probably stay at the same, you know, no travel really going on there. A little bit of a traffic jam over there on the Williamsburg Bridge. That's about it. And then, Knicks actually with a huge upset win in Cleveland yesterday. Now keep in mind, Knicks are in a 3-4 situation. Nuggets, however, with that back to back yesterday, also in a 3-4, but also a 4-6 situation here too. So I wonder if maybe the Nuggets, somebody comes up with a illness today. So we got to see, we got to keep that in mind. But, you know, other than that, I think that this is a pretty good spot for both teams here. Just got to want, now from a matchup perspective, just got to wonder about, you know, fatigue and whatnot. Nuggets actually running a lot slower of a pace than they usually do early on this season. Let's start with them. What do you think is going to be good here?
I mean, it's awfully nice of guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. and Jamal Murray to, you know, make me look good on a day that I didn't even play.
make us look good.
We've yeah, but been the problem
heavy
was
supporters of the THG movement.
Yeah, THJ. But the problem was is they couldn't figure it out, like, or we couldn't profit from it.
Right.
So. Not I don't know. True. It's
not sure. And Jamal Murray went off yesterday too. So, yeah.
Does Minnesota play today?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they do. They play Miami.
Okay. I said like yeah. I had water in my mouth. All right. Let's look at the Nuggets.
I was looking at something. I don't.
That can only mean good things.
Well, I mean, I think you've got to like Nikola Jokic always, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like we love Nikola Jokic. But here's something that's interesting. Paul Millsap went off yesterday, too.
Hey. The matchup against the Nets will do that to you. For you.
I mean, is the Knicks any better?
No.
And he did that shooting 35% from the field, mind you.
Oh, my. Okay.
13 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, which kind of spike it on FanDuel a little bit. But he had no turnovers. Look, Emmanuel Mudiay is going to come in and play about 20 minutes. They want to keep him around that 20 to 22-minute mark. But when he's on the court, the usage drops for everybody else, and it spikes for him. You know, Gary Harris and Wilson Chandler, they just don't have the usage. The two highest usage guys on this team are going to be Jokic and Jamal Murray. And we've said, you know, if Murray gets a shot rolling, which he shot over 57% from the field yesterday, he's going to be absolutely phenomenal, a phenomenal play. And I think after getting benched, what was it, in Atlanta on Friday? Where we had a bunch of Jamal Murray and he get like 5 or 6 points. I think after that, it kind of woke him up a little bit. And he only had one turnover yesterday. And look, I know it's the Nets and everything, but still, this is a young point guard in his second year in the NBA. I think at 4,800, he's a phenomenal tournament play again today. The Knicks are not good when it comes to, you know, stopping point guards, and their grinder is a question mark. So in Ron Baker, so
yeah, Ron Baker's not going to move the needle for me one way or the other. I mean, we talked about Jokic probably going to have that matchup against Kanter if that's what they decide to do. Maybe they want to go. I don't know. Maybe they want to go elsewhere.
If that's the case, then give me Jokic.
Absolutely. All day long. maybe there's the case that Millsap can go with Cameron. I probably not, just because, you know, Millsap on the perimeter would eat him alive. That's a real situation, right? We saw the Knicks on Friday night. They played Cameron 4 minutes in the first half, just because. I still haven't gotten an official word on why this was, but somebody speculated it's because he blew a defensive assignment. But, you know, he comes back in the second half, plays well. I think that lit a little bit of a fire under him. Ended up with a double-double yesterday for Kanter. So, I don't, like, it's a weird situation because this is the first time that
they only played 4 minutes in the first half yesterday?
On Friday.
Oh, okay.
So that's why his score looked a little down, but he still finished with, I believe, 25 FanDuel points. Yeah, this isn't the first time that a coach has been pissed off at Kanter for his defensive ability. So,
Do you think he only got like 22 minutes in Oklahoma City again a night?
So I wonder, about that. Back in the back to back, maybe they go to Kyle Quinmore. I don't know, but if Kanter is in there, that's going to be a fantastic matchup for either. For either of Jokic or Millsap, but it's an interesting situation because I could also see Jokic being on Kristaps Porzingis, and vice versa with the two. So
okay, so here's an interesting thing. Okay, he hasn't played. Let's see here. Okay, that's last season. He's only played one game over 30 minutes, and that was yesterday against Cleveland.
This is Kanter?
Yeah, Kanter. Every other game, I mean, in that huge game against Boston, he played 29 minutes. You could say maybe a little bit was some garbage time because they were getting blown out in that game.
I think the points is where the garbage time came from, but those 19 rebounds were organic.
Oh, no. I was talking about the minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just talking strictly minutes here. Because in the two games before that, he'd only played 22 and 23 minutes. I would say 24, 25 is probably the ceiling on his minutes. We've got him at 24. Okay. 5,600, he definitely has 35-point upside. I don't mind the play, but it's not something that, you know, if you're looking at the center position, obviously you want Jokic. Jokic is a lot better.
Sure.
You know, there's some other pretty good centers on the slate today as well. There's a couple in later games that we'll talk about. You might have heard of them.
Perhaps.
I don't know if I need to save at the center position today, so I don't know if I need to go to him.
Yeah, my point of emphasis here was attacking Kanter, you know, like who would be that guy?
Oh, okay, gotcha.
From Denver to do it, but again, Kanter's been very good statistically for the Knicks. He's starting to get a little more comfortable with them. But again, just saying, you know, with these matchups, sometimes he just gets nixed right out. So keep that in mind. Let's look, and again, too, for the Nuggets, you know, if we're going to finish off the discussion on them, I'm a huge fan of Will Barton and Gary Harris. I mean, both of these guys have been pretty much neck and neck this season with production. So
huge fans of them, but they're kind of getting to that point where, like, I don't feel like I have to play them.
Well, sure. I mean, look.
What are they over there on DraftKings?
On DraftKings, let's take a look at the Nuggets brothers. They are, let's see here, Barton 6,200, Harris 5,600.
See, over there I would go Harris probably, because he's looking like he's playing more minutes, and that obviously could change at the drop of a hat. That's sure. Not guaranteed. These guys literally are, them and Wilson Chandler are some of the, they're the hardest three to kind of figure out. And if one of these three were out, we could load up the other two, lock and load the other two in the same lineup, and it would not hurt our feelings or, you know, be a bad move. Right. I mean, they all kind of cannibalize each other, but it's not saying that one of them can't get hot and be productive.
Right.
But I just think, like, compared to where their price was, you know, 4 or 5 days ago, I don't know if I need them. They're in play, they're in the discussion, but I don't know if I need them, even against the Knicks.
Okay. Weren't the Knicks?
Because isn't Courtney Lee is?
Yeah, he does pretty well. Somebody was saying, I don't know, man. Sometimes I hear the wrong things in Slack or people say the wrong things. Somebody was saying the Knicks were giving up the most fantasy points to shooting guards, and they're the second best against shooting guards. Somebody better check your facts.
I think
over
that
there,
was,
everybody.
I think you saw that because I think I remember where, I think you saw that about 4 days ago.
Okay. Oh, so much has changed.
Well, I mean, a lot has.
Da. All right, let's go to the Knicks on this one. Tim Hardaway getting spit up by the Domination Station once again.
As
and
he should.
Yes, indeed. The price is just way too low on FanDuel. You going back there on the spot?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be as low owned as he. I don't even know what his ownership was yesterday, but I wish he would have sucked for one more day because I would go back to it. But yeah, I mean, his price is just too cheap for the production he could put up. I mean,
he scored 24 real points in the first half yesterday. 24 real points. Him and Porzingis went bananas in that first half. Speaking of Porzingis, any love for him tonight?
I don't mind it. I mean, the usage is there. The shots are going to be there. Everything's going to be there. But $8,900 is a lot to pay for Nikola Jokic. Or
Porzingis.
For Kristaps Porzingis. Maybe.
Okay.
I'm not in love with it yet, but it's a possibility. I don't feel like he has the upside at that price for me to say, oh, I have to have him, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And again, too, being on the back end of a back-to-back, I really don't feel like there's a need to rush that when we got tremendous spots elsewhere on the slate. All right, let's close it out with any other Knicks. Anybody here? Thanks, Jack.
The Knicks are just one of those teams where, I mean, Courtney Lee's on some sort of streak. Like, I don't think I've ever seen this kind of production out of Courtney Lee. Now, hold on, because I'm checking on yesterday. No, I mean, yesterday he went bananas too.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this kind of production out of Courtney Lee in a long time. Now, Courtney Lee even had a double-double yesterday.
I think the one takeaway...
10 rebounds.
Yeah, I was going to say that the one takeaway is just attack the Cavs with backcourt members from now until otherwise noted.
Yeah, because Amon Shumpert's not getting any playing time to make it significant impact. I don't know. Courtney Lee, you're going to get your 13 to 15 points. The 10 rebounds is an anomaly.
Right.
Let's see. He is 4,300, so his price actually went down from yesterday. I think he might be a little bit more popular than what I'm willing to go to. I wish Michael Beasley was getting more playing time. Unfortunately, he's not. So, and depending on how popular Jarrett Jack's going to be. I mean, he's still 4,200 as well, and he's going to play 25-plus minutes. So.
Yeah, DS spent him up a little bit today, so keep that in mind. All right, let's go to the next one here. We've got the Minnesota Timberwolves, who I give the uh-huh to. 1.5-point favorites. They started out as, have since moved to 3.5 here against the Miami Heat. Total 216.5 on this one. Pretty interesting. Miami is 3-1 outright and against the spread versus the Timberwolves in their last four meetings. No major injury news for the Timberwolves, but for the Heat, Hassan Whiteside is going to be out. Of course, Rodney Magruder out. And then news this morning of Wayne Ellington being questionable with an illness for this game. So I guess we could start with the Miami Heat. And I say that because Goran Dragic just popped up a lot on the Domination Station today, especially over there on DraftKings. Domination Station loves him early. 6,500 for him over there. I'm glad that price has come down because he was a solid 7 over there on both. Well, he's, I mean, 6,900 on FanDuel, so he basically is 7. But I like the savings a little bit there on DraftKings tonight, so I could certainly be thwarted that way.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with that.
You better not.
It's a good spot. It's, I can't argue with that.
Yeah, sure. And again, for all my hatred of early season DVP, point guards have been going nuts on the Timberwolves. In fact, they have the most fantasy points per game against the point guard position early this season. I will say, though, Russell Westbrook did face the Timberwolves twice, so that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
But even in those other matchups, point guards are still doing well. So keep that in mind. I'm just saying, the only reason their number, you know, they're down at the bottom, or they're giving up the most fantasy points to point guards, is because of Russell Westbrook. Okay.
That's a good reason, but it's, yeah. I mean, that inflates it, but I don't think it's not like the Timberwolves are good at defense.
Sure. Yeah.
Except for Jimmy Butler. I heard that guy's actually pretty good.
He does not make things easy on the opposing team when his stomach is in order, but still got beef with him for that, I know. What else are we looking at here from the Heat?
Is Tyler Johnson going to pay us back tonight?
I don't know. I don't even know that I care. I think Dragic might be the guy here tonight.
Okay. So if that's the case, if Dragic's the guy, then I want to go back to Kelly Olynyk if everybody's out in the front court for the Heat. If Wayne Ellington's out, does that open up Dion Waiters a little bit going against Andrew Wiggins?
Does. I'm sure. So what, Josh Richardson's probably going to get the Butler treatment?
Yeah, I would see the combination of Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow.
Damn. Okay. Yeah, Waiters certainly makes sense here. I mean, Wiggins, one of the worst DRPM players last season. So, yeah, I could certainly get down with that.
I wonder how much it's, I mean, having the bubble guts going up against Minnesota is not fun, but I mean, here are your targets for Miami, and it's really, honestly, it's not even that much of a deciding factor. Right. You're not going to make a good living picking on Jimmy Butler defense, so Josh Richardson's out. If you're making like 150 lineups and you want to throw him in like two because he is a talented guy and because Jimmy Butler, could switch over onto James Johnson when the T-Wolves go small, or he could switch over to Dion Waiters if Waiters gets hot, and they could put Wiggins on Dragic, which would be a phenomenal matchup, then I understand the reasoning behind it. But for 95%, 98% of the DFS army or the guys out there, you're probably not going to put Josh Richardson in any lineups tonight. Kelly Olynyk, Dion Waiters, James Johnson, and Goran Dragic are your targets. These are guys that Kelly Olynyk. How many minutes do I have? The minutes is probably going to change on Kelly Olynyk.
Okay.
I'm just saying, just because of the fact that right now I have Wayne Ellington in there for 19. And if Wayne Ellington's out, that could end up giving some more run to Tyler Johnson. That could give some more run to a couple of them throughout the board. But Bam Adebayo, or whoever this guy is.
Bam
ate into 18, or he ate into Kelly Olynyk's time significantly.
Interesting.
Kelly Olynyk is not going to be able to bang bodies with Karl-Anthony Towns down low. He's just not going to be able to do it. But Karl-Anthony Towns is not good at defending the perimeter either. So this could be a little chess match. Could I see Kelly Olynyk playing 25 to 28 minutes tonight? Yeah. And that's what you're going to need from Kelly Olynyk in order to get the salary, the upside in his salary that you're seeing. Other than that, for me, it's Waiters, James Johnson, and Goran Dragic. And it's like Kelly Olynyk is like a 10%er.
Here's where I'm gonna question a little bit. So Josh Richardson on the initial domination station pops up in 7 FanDuel lineups on the 10-3 theory. And while Waiters only comes up in 1 in that situation. Over on DraftKings, though.
Right, but right now that's with Wayne Ellington right now popping off 19 minutes. Okay. And eating some of that production for Dion Waiters.
Well, on DraftKings, they're similar. Waiters is in 6. Richardson is in 5. So I get my thought on that was, you know, could Dion Waiters be the one to see Jimmy Butler? I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I think they're both very interchangeable.
If they go big and they put Gorgui Dieng at the 4, then they could put Shabazz Muhammad. Well, yeah, or Taj. Well, Taj would, yeah. Or Taj at the 3, or Shabazz Muhammad at the 3, and Jimmy Butler at the 2. But we haven't seen them run. I mean, when you got Karl-Anthony Towns playing 35-plus minutes a game and Andrew Wiggins playing 30 minutes a game, I mean, we know that Tom Thibodeau loves to run his starters in the ground.
Sure.
I mean, he plays them out there. That's why they were always fun to target when he was with the Bulls. But, you know, they do switch kind of heavily. And if one of these guys starts to take over the game, Jimmy Butler, make no mistake, is going to come in and say, "You're mine." And he's going to stop you at the half court, at the timeline. So, this is a situation I'm going to have to look into a little bit more.
Sounds good. All right, now you did mention Thibodeau would run his starters into the ground every now and again. Well, not every now and again, a lot. But the Timberwolves are on 2 full days of rest, so that's pretty good. This could be probably one of the better teams to target on the slate. Where's your interest here?
Well, there's a reason that the top 5, the starters for the Minnesota Timberwolves, all are projected over 25 minutes, and then every other player for the Wolves is under 17.
You said Bulls, Timberwolves.
No, I said Wolves.
Ah, okay.
Wolves. You know, Jamal Crawford, this is probably the worst move that he could have made, was actually going and trying to be the sixth man in Minnesota, because he's not going to get as much run. You know, I mean, all 5 of them are in play.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Taj Gibson's really cheap. Andrew Wiggins, he's about as cheap as we've ever seen it. We know that he has 45-point upside. Karl-Anthony Towns is just below 10K, but I mean, we saw him go off against Oklahoma City in a not so great matchup the other night, so it's not bad. And Miami's going to be without Hassan Whiteside. I honestly think that Carl Anthony Towns is going to be higher on than Boogie tonight.
Interesting, interesting. All right.
I mean, Boogie's always going to carry some ownership, mm-hmm. but I mean, you're gonna play Carl Anthony Towns. You're gonna play Anthony Davis. That's how people are gonna go because people haven't adjusted the fact that, you know, both AD and Boogie can go off in the same lineup. So I think that's where kind of the ownership. And plus, I mean, Towns is what $1,100 cheaper than Boogie. So
yeah, and you know, you look at that $9,000 on DraftKings. That's a quite the affordable price. You know, the biggest anomaly, I guess. So Wiggins is $6,800 on DraftKings, but only $6,200 on FanDuel.
Oh yeah, he's permanently underpriced.
I like a lot of these Wolves players, given the line movement, two full days of rest. You know, the height, like the total in this game is surprisingly high. So this could be one of these better games to target tonight. And
it's high for being in Miami, yes.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like 216.5. That's a solid total right there. That's not like a 210. This is a sneaky that's game interesting. Stack. That's like 216 for these two teams is like, whoa. All right, you've got my attention.
This is a sneaky game stack.
What's your Jimmy Butler interest tonight?
Lukewarm.
Okay.
Just because Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow are capable defenders. I like it with a pairing of like a Carl Anthony Towns or like a Jeff Teague, sorry.
Yes, I'm a big Jeff Teague fan tonight. And again, Goran Dragic probably gonna be the guy that I go with. I hate his upside a lot, but I do feel like Dragic should be more than okay tonight. I don't know. I think Teague's a very interesting way to go for tournaments.
Yes, absolutely.
Again, the 216 is just smacking my face. All right, let's go to the next game here. From a very exciting game, a lot of hope, to one with that could probably go down in the pit of misery, dilly dilly. Charlotte Hornets at the Memphis Grizzlies. Grizzlies favored by 6 in this one. We got a total of 192.5 that has since gone to 195. Big whoop-de-doo. Hornets 3-1 outright end against the spread versus Memphis in their last four meetings. Big shocker here. Three of the last four Hornets-Grizzlies games have gone under the total. Charlotte on the back end of a back-to-back and playing their third game in 4 days. Frank Kaminsky is questionable with an illness, and then Nick Batum, Michael Carter-Williams, Julian Stone all out with their individual ailments. For the Memphis Grizzlies, Jermichael Green still going to be out. Wayne Selden, Ben McLemore also out with their individual ailments. Big game yesterday for the Hornets, especially from one Kemba Walker, but a lot of teams have been putting up some fantasy points. So is this a big deal, Kemba's performance yesterday, or just a drop in the bucket?
Drop in the bucket. He was at home, and he had it going. I mean, not worried about it, especially now going into Memphis, into the Grindhouse, coming off of that big game on a back-to-back with travel. And, I mean, Conley's a capable defender. This is a game that's going to be slower paced, and I mean the totals kind of tell us all.
Right.
I'm kind of out. There's only really, I mean, Mark Gasol, especially if Frank Kaminsky's out. I think he's. I don't know if Frank Kaminsky's out. Maybe Marvin Williams again. Dylan Brooks, for some reason, is popping off the page, and I'm going to have to find out why, because we went down that road before, and it didn't work out. I don't know if it's just like if it was just anomaly. There we go. or if it was, you know, something that can be sustainable.
Sure.
He's interesting because he's 3,700. And if he's going to play 25 minutes at 3,700, and if that wasn't just a one-game thing, then I have a little bit of interest maybe as a salary saver in tournaments because he's going to be next to nothing owned because nobody even knows who this guy is.
Sure, sure.
I mean, we're going to be able to go back to Malik Monk. It's not today. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are going to play between 22 and 25 minutes in this game. And, I mean, unfortunately, because it's in Memphis, I don't really have any interest in them.
Okay. I'm looking around here. Now, here's an interesting one. If Frank Kaminsky is going to be out tonight... now, again, this is pure GPP territory, but I guess, I mean, Cody Zeller came back into the lineup, played 18 minutes. Again, I'm not looking for him to have, you know, this massive night or anything like that, but I do like the savings for a site like DraftKings where you could probably put him in. He's slotted for about 20 minutes, maybe
gets a
little...
$3,100?
$4,000 on DraftKings.
Ooh, that's a little...
Yeah, it's not the best, but again,
we have Chandler Parsons sighting on Friday night. I think was it Friday night?
I can't get excited about that.
Oh no, we always used to love the talent. He just can never stay on the court.
Never.
Remember, he had like a 12-minute cap last year for a lot of the year, and like it just was. I don't know. Like we loved playing Chandler Parsons when he was with Dallas. When he was healthy because he could put up games and get into hot streaks. He was like a cheap Danilo Gallinari. Problem was is he's very hardly ever healthy. And so now he's relegated to like a 15 minute of, and they paid him a lot of money. So we got to watch this minutes trend. Because if they start bumping up these minutes and bumping up these minutes, and then we could possibly be able to buy low because I don't think that James Enos and Dylan Brooks are the answer at the small forward position for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Hell nah. I do, briefly talking about Zeller there, but another center in this game who we're all very familiar with, Marcus Gasol. Again, DraftKings, 7,800. Again, for FanDuel, 8,600 over there. Not loving it over there, but I feel like on DraftKings, you could certainly hit his quota. If you're going to attack the Hornets, certainly center has been, and center and power forward have been the positions to do so. But I think Gasol could certainly clean up here tonight. Even Jarrell Martin with a nice night against them. Again, Charlotte back in back to back, probably going to be playing some sluggish, sloppy ball, a lot of missed shots. So, I could certainly get down with some rebound totals tonight from these guys. Again, it's all deep GPP tonight for this game just because it's just got a very ugly outlook.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you could even make the case of just Xing this game out and just going on. This one in the San Antonio-Boston game.
Like, yes.
I mean... And there's one other game, too, the Dallas-Utah game. I mean, those all three of those totals are below 195. Like, yeah. Unless there's some extreme value in one of these games, like, there's only one of these teams that are projected to score over 100 points, and it's Memphis. So that's why I bring up guys like Dylan Brooks, Marc Gasol, Jarrell Martin, James Enos. I mean, one of these guys could be viable. It's just I've got to look into it a little bit more, and when DS gets a lot more of the updates, then we'll figure it out. But they're not games that I really, really, really want to target.
Sure, sure. All right, let's get to an exciting one here.
Please. Orlando, we spent a lot of time on these other ones.
Orlando Magic at the New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans 7.5-point favorites here. Total at 222, which has since moved to 225. That's great news. Orlando 3-1. Against the Pelicans in their last four meetings, 2-1-1 against the spread. Three of the last four Pelicans Magic games have gone under the total. Don't know how much stock I'm going to put into those trends, just because Pelicans are a much different team now than they were last season and the year before that. But looking at the two teams here, Orlando is on the back end of a back-to-back. They were at Charlotte yesterday. This is also their third game in 4 days. Jonathan Isaac questionable with an illness for tonight. And then Elfrid Payton, of course, out with a hamstring injury. For the Pelicans, same injury report for them as it's been for a while. Rondo, Ajinsa, Asik, Frank Jackson all out with their individual ailments. All right, let's just get right to it. Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, both going to probably dominate this one. It's hysterical to see these big guys. Davis with the 29.8% usage rate, Boogie 31.6% usage rate. I think I'm probably on the same path here with everyone. I like Davis a lot more than Cousins tonight. Going to have a fantastic matchup against Aaron Gordon, who, as we all know, ranked 70th out of 74 power forwards last night in DRPM.
Last year.
Yes, last year. A little cheaper than Boogie on both sites as well, so I dig it.
I don't care. I like them both, and I'll play both of them. And then I will also pair up Cousins and Vooch and Gordon and Davis and Cousins. And, like, I want all the bigs from this game. And if there was a way that I could do it on FanDuel, I would. But I can't, so I won't. I have... Yeah, no kidding, right? I don't see any way that any of these guys get stopped. Like,
yeah.
And it's something else. You gotta, I mean, people don't think of NBA as a DFS sport where, you know, stacking can come into play, but it can. And it's not a huge edge like it is in NFL or MLB, but it can give you an edge. If you run a Drew Holiday with a DeMarcus Cousins or Anthony Davis or both, you're going to get a lot of, you know, guess what? Drew Holiday bounces it down low to DeMarcus Cousins and Boogie puts it in, or Boogie shoots a three, or AD shoots a three. Guess what? You're going to get a lot of these. You get the assist and you get the bucket. And then, you know, if
everyone's happy.
Yeah. You just, unfortunately, you can't get like a hockey assist where if Drew swings it to Davis, who swings it to Boogie down low and Boogie puts it in, like, they need to do that. Like, I think NBA should implement the hockey assist stat. You know, you get like a half of assist for being the second to last guy to touch it, and then you get the assist for being the assist.
Absolutely.
You know, or make it like a double assist, or, you know, whatever. There's like advanced stats have it. You know, it's called a help assist, right, or something like that. But I think we need to implement this into our fantasy game. Yeah, FanDuel. See, if you want to implement something cutting edge, do this. Stop changing with the blocks and the steals and implement something like this, where you implement the help assist. I don't know what to do with Evan Fournier, because DJ Augustine's been eating into some of his usage a little bit. Now, he's had good games, don't get me wrong, and he's capable of going bananas. Etwan Moore, still $4,100. I love the idea of sticking Terrence Ross in a couple GPP lineups, because he can go off. But there's guys that you can pair together and guys you can't. Evan Fournier and, you know, Terrence Ross are not guys that you can put together in the same lineup. No. You want one or the other, not both.
No. You brought up Drew Holiday. I'm interested to talk about him a little bit now. His last two games have been absolutely phenomenal. However, one of those, you remember, Anthony Davis was out, so Holiday saw increased usage, and then
against Sacramento.
Yeah, that game. And then Saturday against Cleveland, he went absolutely bananas. But as we're seeing here early on this season, backcourt guys are just crushing the Cavs. So, okay, look, we know this.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, here's a question for you. What about against the Lakers when both Boogie and AD played? He still had a good game.
Okay.
I mean, and honestly, if you take those four games, the game where AD was out and AD left early, those were his two worst. That's what I'm saying is, like, I think with AD and Boogie both in there, it allows Drew Holiday to not get as much attention. And he's able to have two talented guys to be able to dish the ball to rather than just one. I see what you're saying. I understand it. And I know exactly where you're coming from and what the hesitation could be.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if with only a four-game sample size, it's applicable.
Okay.
Are you making this argument because you think he might be highly owned?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying, like,
behind,
yeah, because that game against Cleveland, I figured, you know what, like, this is going to be a nice fade spot because, you know, so many people are going to be on him for what he did in Sacramento on Thursday night. And then I just completely olayed the fact that he was playing the Cavs. So, yeah, that didn't work. But, again, I'm very skeptical about things early on in the season. I'm going to be questioning a lot of different things. So, yeah, it's just it's something that I'm going to be looking at. But, yeah, from an ownership perspective, it is certainly where I'm coming from. You know, looking at the rest of this game, I mean, Etuan Moore's a guy that you mentioned quickly. I like him. This could, again, just we're going to see a lot of points tonight. So, again, if with Etuan Moore, again, that last game against the Cavaliers, he went absolutely bananas. I feel like he's more of a get his value and go home sort of guy where he'll get you, you know, like 22, 23 fantasy points. I mean, that's pretty much what I expect out of him. Again, against the Cavs, you see the numbers getting inflated big time. So I don't mind that. And then the other takeaway that I had from this game, I know where everybody's going to be on AD Boogie, that line of thinking. I don't mind some Aaron Gordon here. Certainly going to be a lot cheaper than Anthony Davis there at the power forward position, but again, this is a guy that we've seen put up massive numbers before, and you know, I think it could be a lot of back and forth. And our favorite ping pong game could even come back where you get AD and Aaron Gordon going.
I like that. Where are we here? I wonder how highly owned Aaron Gordon's going to be. I'm going to have to watch the chatter on him. Because he might be worth fading with AD being at home. Just because, like, I would rather put the three together, Holiday, Davis, and Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Because Holiday's a little bit cheaper than Gordon. And I know it's got the, you know, you've got the coming back action, but I'm going to have to see how roster construction's going with the industry. Because Aaron Gordon's not somebody I'm afraid to fade. And if he's going to be, you know, if he's going to be approaching that 25-30% mark on FanDuel, what's his price over on DK?
Who is this? But Gordon?
Yeah.
He is 7,500.
Okay, so he's about the same price. If they're going to be chalky, if Aaron Gordon's going to be chalky going into New Orleans against that front court of Boogie and AD, I mean, I understand that he can do a lot of different things and stuff, but do we really see him popping out 6-7x?
It's going to be tough, but I was thinking more along the lines of 5-6.
Well, if we're only thinking along the lines of 5-6, then I don't want it.
Well, fair enough. He comes at a much cheaper price than AD, though. So
no, I get that. Let me rephrase that. If he comes in at 5-6 for a cheaper price than, because Anthony Davis can go out and get 55-60.
Yes.
Aaron Gordon, 55-60 is his good day.
Yes.
And I understand that, what, $4,000 in salary? $4,100 on FanDuel?
Indeed.
It's just, wow.
Yeah. Look, you're taking a risk, right? Big scared money don't make money.
I know, but I'm also trying to maximize profit potential as well.
Sure.
And raw points. And I know that even though Boogie and AD are expensive, if there's value that's out there to be had in roster construction, I can possibly get 120, 130 points out of those two.
Yes.
And I still don't think a lot of the industry is going to play both of those guys in the same lineup together. I think they're scared to play both in the same lineup, and I'm not.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you've mentioned this plenty of times before, but, you know, all you got to do is just take a look at the two box scores with these guys, and you'll see. Playing them together, not a terrible idea.
Yeah, they spent the summer at each other's houses getting, you know, the best friends brotherly love treatment. Like, you know, they know what each other thinking.
Oh, my. So many jokes in that one. All right, let's move it on down to Houston, Texas. No, it's not a World Series game. It's a basketball game. The Sixers and the Rockets. Rockets favored by 6.5 in this one. We got a total of 218, which has gone down slightly to 216.5. Rockets have won 5 straight games against the Sixers, but have only covered 2 of those. For the Sixers, a couple injury questions here. We've got Joel Embiid, J.J. Redick, Jahlil Okafor, all questionable for this one. And then, of course, Markelle Fultz, Rashawn Holmes, both out for the Sixers. For the Rockets, this is their 3rd game in 4 days, their 4th in 6 days as well. Eric Gordon will play. It was a little bit of question of whether he would with that illness. He's in. Nene, going to be questionable for this one. And Chris Paul has not been officially ruled out, but we know he's probably going to be out. All right. So we just saw this game take place, I believe, 5 days ago. And fantasy goodness of all sorts from the people. But, I mean, you got to love a lot of players in this game. Of course, James Harden on the Rockets side of things. With the Sixers, you got the big guns and Joel Embiid and big Ben Simmons. What I failed to mention Clint Capella, too, for the Rockets, but he's a big gun in this matchup. What's most appealing to you here?
It ain't Clint Capella, that's for damn sure.
Why is that?
Because everybody's going to go to that.
Hmm. But it should be for good reason. I mean,
really? At 7,500.
16 points, 20 rebounds, 4 blocks against them 5 days ago. And not to mention,
you don't think that
centers against not to mention, centers against the Sixers have been money in the bank this season.
Really? Because I haven't played them. Maybe that's, I don't know. Are you like,
kidding me?
Not that
you haven't played him, but center, I mean, come on. Centers have been going nuts. Marcin Gortat put up 50-plus against them.
Do we really think? But, okay, Clint Capella grabbed 20 rebounds against the Sixers.
He did.
I'll let everybody else chase that game.
Okay.
Because in my eyes, okay, there have been 2 anomaly games so far. And now that his price is all the way up to 75, it makes it a lot harder to grab some of that profit off the anomaly games. He's got 50-point upside. I am not denying that because he's not only shown it once, but twice now. I'm saying his ceiling is probably around 30, 35.
Okay. DraftKings, the salary is much more affordable over there, $6,700. Huge difference.
There you can play it. If you want your Clint Capella.
He's trying to say Quint Capella.
It's just like QT or Texas Tech has a wide receiver named Kiki QT.
Whoa.
So if you want your Clint Capella exposure, go do it on DraftKings. Don't do it on FanDuel.
Yes, and the Domination Station agrees. In the 10-3 theory, Capella is listed 8 out of those 10.
Yeah. So. He's not going to grab 20 rebounds again. So can he get a double-double? Yes, absolutely. But, I mean, he's not going to grab 20 rebounds again.
Sure enough. All right, so you said what you don't find appealing. What is it that you do find appealing in this matchup?
I wish Joel Embiid was playing 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid is a great cash game play.
Sure.
Great cash game center. He's going to get you 40 points. More times than not. His range of outcomes is anywhere between 32 and 40. That's what he's going to be at.
Yeah.
And he's going to play anywhere between... He's going to play 30 minutes or so. Like, his cap is 28, 29 minutes, which is good. It's a lot better than the high teens that we were told that they're starting out at. He's only 8,000 on FanDuel for whatever reason. After just being, what was he? He was just 8'6". And he put up a 32, so they dropped him $600.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I actually like Joel Embiid for a little bit. But, I mean, you're talking about exactly 5X. And I want the ability to for my players to reach that, you know, 6, 7, 8X potential.
As we all do.
Joel Embiid is a great cash game play.
Yeah.
And but the only way that he's going to be useful in tournaments is if a lot of these other centers bust. And I don't see that happening.
I was just saying, the Domination Station today, running the 10-3, Embiid pops up in all 10 of those lineups on FanDuel.
Jesus.
On FanDuel, yeah. But again, I mean, look, you're absolutely correct. Like, you don't want... Okay.
So he'll be in my cat. So if I were to run the Domination Station with just, you know, with the early Domination Station lineup without the updates and adjustments, he would be my cash game center. I can see that possibly changing, but I would not be surprised if it doesn't.
Yeah. And, you know, again, you're absolutely right. You know, you don't want to get to 40 points and be like, okay, I'm done.
Exactly.
All right. That's
even
it.
In cash
right.
games. Even right. in cash
he,
games.
He pulls the George Costanza showmanship. All right. That's it, everybody. I'm out of here.
Yep. Even in cash games, you don't want that to happen. So.
All right. All right. Another guy that's popping off the page, and I don't know for good reason, for good variance his way, but TJ McConnell had some big games here recently, but I know one of those he had 5 steals. The second one, I didn't really get a good look at how he did. No, he just went bananas in every other aspect. But I'm fine. Like, McConnell now, with Markel Fultz out of the lineup, last two games, he's gotten 28 minutes, 31 minutes. That's been the big difference. I'm still skeptical because it's crazy. He's had 8 and 9 assists, and this is still with Ben Simmons in the lineup. Do you think this McConnell train keeps rolling? Because the Domination station sure as hell does.
It's possible. I'm willing to go back to it at 4,900 on FanDuel. 30 minutes.
This is a guy who I think is going to be very highly owned, right?
I could definitely see that, yes.
Okay, so there's my point of skepticism.
I'm trying to look and see kind of what his ceiling would be. Because, like, I don't trust ceiling projections because there's not really a way to kind of calculate that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you're looking at – it's still TJ McConnell.
Right, yeah. Point B of skepticism.
I mean, come on. Before the Houston game – he hadn't played over 18 minutes and put up over 13 fantasy points.
Yes.
If TJ McConnell's going to be chalk, I have no problems getting off of that.
All right. Same
because way. What at 5,000, at 4,900, what is he over there on DK?
McConnell is 4,400.
Okay, so at 4,400, he needs 38 to kill you. To kill you, not
right.
To just not be profitable, to kill you.
Got you. No on McConnell, no cash mode. Got you.
Yeah, exactly. On FanDuel, he needs 44. 8x.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, let's say, like, all right, his last two. What was it, 41, 31?
Yeah.
In terms of FanDuel points, so.
And now
I don't
his
know.
Price has skyrocketed another six. Like, the yeah, 40, the 41.5 against Houston at 3.1K, it didn't kill you because he wasn't highly owned.
Sure.
Like, you profited off of that. But now you start to add in, if we think that his ownership's going to be high, plus the price, you know, you take 4.9 times, let's just do 8, that's 39.2.
Mm-hmm.
That's to start to begin to injure you and hurt you. You know, you got, like, the doom face on the little, like, right-hand corner that shows your life. That starts to really sweat and have the blood dripping down. It's right. Not going to kill you until he, like, TJ McConnell's not going to kill you. He's going to be a nice thing to have if he gets to that, you know, 35 to 40 point range.
Yeah.
I don't think he, I don't have any problem fading it though, if it's going to be chalky.
Yeah, absolutely. Good call. All right. Also from that Sixers team, I'm a huge fan of Robert Covington in this matchup. He had a big game 5 days ago when they faced off. And then if you remember, we talked about this on the pod last week, the day that game was, he didn't have a good last season matchup against the Rockets. But the year before, he put up some ridiculous numbers. I believe he had like 12 steals in two games 2 years ago against these guys. Same sort of team, not too much different. So
if he's gonna play 36 minutes and take 18 shots and 12 three pointers again,
yeah,
I'm all in.
Uh huh. I like
as
it.
Close to all in as I can possibly, especially with Trevor Ariza out.
Yeah.
Or questionable. Is Ariza questionable?
No, Ariza's good. It was Gordon who had the iffy questionable, but he's in. He's gonna be in.
Yeah, Eric Gordon's playing. But Ariza was questionable. Ariza left this last game against Houston with the foot, didn't he? Or did he not play?
No, he came back. He had the injury. Then
no, he didn't play against Philly last game.
Right, but what I'm saying, Ariza, I believe, what was that, Saturday, the last game I played? That was his first game back since being injured. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, he missed two games. He missed two games and then came back, so... all right, so we talked about pretty much everything except the two skillful lefties in this game, one on each side. What are you doing here?
I don't know. Because Ben Simmons is like... And we were talking about this I was talking about this to Orcus yesterday. If he keeps doing what he's doing, he's hands down the rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the faux rookie of the year.
Yeah, he's hands down. He's absolutely like he's performing like he's been in the NBA for 5 years. He's playing the minutes. He's going to play 34 to 36 minutes. He's going to shoot the ball about 12 to 15 times, you know, on average. He's going to grab you 6 to 10 boards. He's going to put up about 8 to 10 assists. He's a point guard at the power forward position. And FanDuel got caught onto this very, very quickly because he started at 5.6K. And after six games, he's all the way up to 9,300. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
you know how I like my I use my comparison of players in a social economic class sort of way. So in my well, I was gonna say he is not a poor man's Giannis. He is a middle classman's Giannis.
I love that comparison. Yeah. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love Ben Simmons. I love what he's done and everything. $9,300 is a fair price for him. I'm skeptical because he's only played six NBA games, but I can't deny the matchup. I can't deny the production. I can't deny the skill set. Yep. I'm gonna have some exposure to Ben Simmons because I'm sick of being left. And this is bad. I'm sick of being left in the dust when it comes to this. We were all over him on opening night. We were all over him the first three games of his career, and then he started popping up and becoming, you know, 8,800.
Yep.
And I'm like, whoa. And see, here's the thing. Is if you want to just go by straight multipliers, this probably the worst game of his career so far was against Houston.
Okay. I mean that game against Boston where
it was also well, yeah. But I mean we talked about Boston and their defense right now early on in the season. Houston doesn't have that problem.
No.
But it's also his worst shooting game of his career. Other than Boston. So I don't know. Like I've never had a rookie like throw me for a loop seven games into their NBA career and he's done it. And he's going to be, what would you say his ownership on FanDuel is at 93 on a nine-game slate?
Oh, man.
22?
I was going to go a little under maybe like 17, 18% just because of what else is at the power forward position today.
Okay. Well, then.
A lot of marquee names at the position.
Okay. Well, then I don't think you have to fade him. I don't think you need to fade him. If you like him, play him. It's not an ownership play or anything like that. I think he's in play. I just don't know how much of him I'm going to end up having.
Harden, again, one of his worst games of the season. Actually, both of his worst games of the season came against
Robert
Memphis.
Is going to be on him.
But we called that fade on Harden on Saturday night just an absolutely brutal position for the Rockets, being on the back end of a back-to-back, playing 4-6 and all that. They're still in a 3-4, 4-6 situation tonight. But, I mean, it's been a tough go for us James Harden truthers out there. What?
He's not James Harden from last year.
Yeah, it's like you can't go there at this price.
Yeah, and he's not Russell Westbrook. Like Russell Westbrook at 11-5 can still pop off 66. Mm-hmm. James Harden can't do that. James Harden's best game of his season so far this season with this new supporting cast around him is 54. And that was against these Phillies or these 76ers.
Baseball season.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's an
easy fade for me.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's move it on. We got three games left to talk about. This one should be pretty quick, though. Dallas Mavericks at the Utah Jazz. Jazz 7.5-point favorites here. Total 189, since moved to 191.5. Interesting thing here, though. Jazz 4-3 against the Mavericks in their last seven meetings, but they've only covered two of those games. Five of the last seven Mavericks Jazz games have gone over the total, but that's because they always have totals like the one they have tonight. Injury news here. Dennis Smith Jr., questionable knee injury. Dorian Finney-Smith, also questionable here. Seth Curry out. Josh McRoberts out. Dante Exum out for the Jazz on that end. All right, so quickly here for the Mavs, I guess the only interest I really have is Harrison Barnes and Wesley Matthews.
I have none.
I mean, the price is right on DraftKings for both guys, but
what's the price over there?
53 for Barnes, 45 for Matthews.
See, Harrison Barnes is 61 and Wesley Matthews is 52 on FanDuel. Yes. So if you want to play, if you some for some reason want to play somebody from this game, then go do it on DraftKings.
You know, like one thing, honestly, like I know we're trying to hurry up with these last couple of games, but the like Mavericks Jazz game, and I mentioned it there with the spreads and everything. I mean, these end up being pretty good games. Like these two games or these two teams have good games together. So it's not a game that I'm going to totally just dismiss right away. I think that there is some value here, but again, I'm not rushing to go get it by any means.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, especially at their prices on FanDuel. I mean, you might could talk me into a little bit of Rudy Gobert. Some Rodney Hood. I think Rodney Hood is chasing, though, after yesterday. What did he put up yesterday? It was that was
Saturday against the Lakers. Yeah, he had a good start, but the finish,
You know, Rodney Hood's projected 33 minutes, over 5x right now currently. Rudy Gobert is always good in slower paced games. Those are the type of games that we like to target him in. Other than that, I have zero interest. I just don't play Dirk. Yeah. Harrison Barnes is too expensive in this matchup. I mean, just can't do it. So
yeah, fair
can't
enough.
Do it, won't do it.
I think a lot of people will agree with that. So we can just move it along. Toronto Raptors at the Portland Trail Blazers. Blazers 2-point favorites in this one. Over under at 215.5. Raptors surprisingly have won the last four meetings against the Trail Blazers, but only covered two of those games. Three of the last four Portland Toronto games have gone over the total. Toronto coming into this game on two full days rest. Jonas Valanciunas, Lucas Nogueira, both questionable, but I assume they'll be out. Don't quote me on that. And for the Blazers, Myers Leonard, Noah Vonleh, CJ Wilcox, Wade Baldwin, IV, all out with their individual ailments. All right. What do you like in here on both sides?
I mean... Damian Lillard at home is always going to be in play for me. I don't play DeMar DeRozan. I don't, like, it doesn't bother me. DeMar DeRozan, unless he's under 8K, is not going to win me or lose me a tournament. Kyle Lowry's interesting with a little bit of ping pong action with him and Lillard. And you said you... Yusuf Nurkic has been
a jerk.
Pretty good. So, or not pretty good. So,
yes, the exact opposite of pretty good.
Yeah. Actually, he wasn't bad against Phoenix. Let's see here. There's a
baby steps, Yusuf. Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. The problem is that he's been mismanaged. Like, when you leave a guy to get the third foul like 8 minutes into the first quarter.
Oh, my God. I want to strangle.
Yeah.
Stop.
I don't mind pairing up Lillard and McCollum. They've seemed to work out their inconsistency issues when it comes to putting up good fantasy point games together. You know, just look at the last two games. They've been pretty good. I'm looking a lot in... I want to know why Dylan Wright keeps popping off the page every single time I turn around. Like, I understand he had a good game against Chicago and Philly, but, like, it just – I can't do it. He played 11 minutes against the Lakers.
Yeah. He absolutely ruined my late-night slate on Friday on DraftKings. So, well, I guess it's not his fault, probably the coach's fault, but I mean, I guess the reason, I mean, you look at all these other games, he's been playing, you know, like minutes wise, 23, 31, 25 against San Antonio, 29 against the Warriors. And those were all games that were highly, well, not all, but those games against the Spurs and the Warriors, those were highly competitive games and he was in the mix. So, weird to see him out there for 11 minutes, but yeah, I'm not going to be taking that chance, even on a late slate. Just running some queries for the late night slate. Looking at the guy, Mo Harkless is a guy that could be pretty interesting tonight. He's getting the minutes. He's played at least 35 minutes in three of the last four games. Not necessarily doing a whole lot on, you know, exceeding value, but I do think on DraftKings he's going to be a better play over there. You know, he's posted at least 23 DraftKings points. He's 4,200 over there. Each of those games where he got the 35 minutes. So that's probably the direction that I'm going to go for value. I mean, you know, minutes, hey, you'll fall ass backwards into those points more often than not.
Yeah, exactly.
I got nothing else after that.
Evan Turner is a little bit interesting, especially if he's going to still keep continuing to play close to 30 minutes.
Norman.
Yeah, Norman Powell. He's got the ability. Because when they go small, they'll play him at the three. But it's at this point in our relationship, it's a show me first. You got to show me before I will roster you again. You show me that you can put up decent games back to back, and then we can talk. I think Jakob Poeltl's untouchable though.
I don't know, man. Like, again, what was going on in that game against the Lakers? Like, he didn't get enough.
Serge Ibaka was dominating down low, playing the five.
I guess, but Jakob Poeltl, he ended up finishing off with a pretty decent score, but oh my god, 5-3 on FanDuel now. No thanks.
Yeah, and if I'm gonna pay 5-3 for a guy, I need a guarantee over 20 minutes.
You know, it was funny.
At minimum,
I was watching that game against the Lakers, but I had the Wizards Warriors on the TV, and I'm just like, you know, I wasn't really paying attention much, but I mean, I had it on there. It's amazing. Poeltl only gets 18 minutes in that game, so I don't know. Gonna be interesting to see what happens. All right, we move into the finale.
Moving.
All right, we got the Golden State Warriors at the Los Angeles Clippers. Warriors, 3.5-point favorites in this game, has since moved to 5. We got a total here of 222.5 in this one. Golden State has won 8 straight games against the Clippers, covering 5 of those times. For the Warriors here, they are on the back end of a back-to-back. They lost at home to the Pistons last night. How could they? But it's also their third game in 4 nights and their 4th in 6. No injuries to take into account for them. But, and then I'm sorry, for the Clippers too, you got Milos Teodosic going to be out with that foot injury. All right, here's my takeaway here. So last season against the Clippers, Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant accounted for the 7 highest fantasy point totals of any Warriors players against the Clippers. I don't see that changing much. Do you?
Okay, say that again.
Kevin Durant and Steph Curry accounted for the 7 highest fantasy point totals of any Warriors players against the Clippers last season. Like, if you did it, like, if you ran a chart for Warriors players that had the most fantasy points against the Clippers in a game last season, Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant are in the top 7.
Okay. I don't see it changing on Kevin Durant's angle.
Okay.
I could see it possibly changing a little bit on Steph Curry's angle because of Patrick Beverley, who I think is a better overall defender than Chris Paul.
Right.
Now, does that mean I'm going to shy away from Steph Curry? No, absolutely not. But I could see it changing. Like, I could see him deferring more to Clay a little bit, or Durant. And then I just think that I want to go back and actually, like, physically watch these games, a couple of these games, because I want to see the matchup between Blake and Draymond.
All right.
That's the question that I need answered in this game.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, look, from the Warriors side of things, it's pretty standard, right? The Fantastic Four, and then that's really it. I'm not looking anywhere else. But the Clippers side of things here, DeAndre Jordan, very interesting in this matchup. We know centers can go bananas on this Warriors team. So, I mean, DeAndre's a guy that is capable of putting up a ton of numbers. And you got to think, too, you know, with the Warriors – you know, this being their fourth game in six nights, maybe a lot of those shots that they take aren't falling. Maybe some extra rebound opportunities for DeAndre Jordan. Don't mind that.
Or Draymond Green with putbacks, too. I mean,
could be.
Here's the thing is, like, Blake scares me in this matchup because Blake's playing a lot more on the perimeter than he used to be. You know, he's shooting more threes, and he's making them, don't get me wrong, but, like, Draymond Green is a very, very, very good defender. Down low on the block and out in the perimeter. That gives me a little bit of a cause for concern for Blake.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to go back and look at it.
Fair enough. Danilo Gallinari, probably going to be matched up against Durant. Not the greatest, but... I don't mind his price here, $6,200 on FanDuel for a game where, you know, a lot more possessions than usual for this team. So $5,900 on DraftKings as well is not bad. But
he needs to shoot better. Like, the percentage needs to be better. He's putting up the shots. His low shot is 11. Is 11 shots.
38 minutes in each of the last three games.
Yeah, and he took 10 threes against Detroit. Only made three of them, but 10 of his 16 shots were three-pointers. If he makes three more of those, he's going to get you 4 or 5 rebounds. He's not going to get you a lot of assists, maybe two. He's not going to get you any steals or blocks. The three steal game against Utah was an anomaly. But he really, really, really needs to get into that 20 to 25 point range, raw points, in order to really, really start. I mean, I love the minutes. I love the shot attempts.
Yep.
He's just, I need him. We need him to get hot. I like the matchup. I like the opportunity, and I like where the ownership's going to be because nobody even remembers that he's on the freaking Clippers.
Good point.
I just have to. He's just got to get hot.
Yeah,
and it can happen. He's just got to do it.
One other guy here before we close it out that a lot of people have forgotten that's on the Clippers as well, Lou Williams.
There's good reason why.
Yeah, he had two really good games to start, but you got to keep in mind who he faced, the Lakers and the Suns. And then these last three games, minutes have dipped a little bit, but I could see why, just given the matchups. Again, the Jazz, the Blazers, that was a dud I expected him to do better in. But then against the Pistons as well, he only sees 21 minutes. I think, you know, just given the matchup and what's going to happen tonight, I'm sure they're going to need him a lot more for this game. So 4,600 on FanDuel is very interesting for a guy.
See, we thought that against Portland. We thought that against Detroit because Detroit's without KCP. I understand they've got Avery Bradley. But what's the problem is they just decide they want to run Austin Rivers out there for 35 freaking minutes a game. That's the problem.
There's a good reason for that.
Why?
Because his daddy's on the team.
Okay, that's not a good reason.
Well, that's a good reason why he's getting those minutes. It's not like...
No, that's a reason why he's getting the minutes. That's not necessarily a good reason why he's getting the minutes.
We're going apples to oranges here, but you know what I mean.
No, we're going red apples to green apples. That's not
It's a truthful reason.
That's exactly right. It's a truthful reason.
All right. It's like... with the guy saying the other day where he misspoke one word, McNair, the owner of the Texans, ended up being...
We're not going there. We're not going there here.
By the way, it is inmates running the asylum, not the... right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but he didn't say that.
That's the figure of speech.
And
I get you.
In today's NFL, you can't do that.
Oh, I know. Oh, apparently, yeah. We
so
certainly.
So we're not going there on here.
All right. We done.
So
here?
Let me ask you a question. Okay. No, I honestly, you've got a $400 difference between these two on FanDuel. You playing Lou Williams or Austin Rivers?
Oh man!
If they were, you know, in the player pool, and that's what you had. You had $5K left at the shooting guard position. Which one?
I mean, just given what's been going on here over the last couple of games, I think you gotta go Rivers.
Yep, and I think everybody's gonna still pivot to Lou. I think Lou's gonna be higher owned than they are, because everybody's gonna try to get sneaky by getting a bench player in the hammer game.
Sure.
I still think it's Austin Rivers, and it's not. They don't have a good matchup. It's still Klay Thompson. They don't have a good matchup. So, and guys, no, I'm not playing Sean Livingston or David West or freaking Zaza Pachulia, or I mean, the only bench player for the Lake or the freaking Golden State Warriors that's even remotely considerably in play would be Andre Iguodala. And I don't know if I can do that right now. Because he's 4,000, and he's not going to put up more than 20 fantasy points unless he gets extended run.
Yeah, I am an Iggy fan. I'm in the Iggy fan club. I can't do it right now.
Yeah, he's just not in a groove right now.
No. By the way,
so
Rivers.
They're trying to figure out this new rotation with a lot of these new young guys and Nick Young and all this other stuff. So, you know, until they do. Now, there's going to be a time and a place to play Iggy. Coming off the bench. That time and place is not right now.
No. With Rivers, we were talking about 32 minutes in each of the last four games. At least 32. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. All right. They'll do it for this game, yeah?
Yeah.
Super duper. All right, programming note. Tomorrow, we will not be recording a podcast. Only four games on the NBA slate. Kind of a weird week where... Got a lot of short slates, so thank you.
Today, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yes, so thank you, Commissioner, for this week. We will certainly use it to the best of our abilities, but yeah, no podcast for tomorrow. It'll allow us both to get some things done in advance for the other days. But once again, if you like what you heard, keep listening, of course. Thank you for everybody tuning in. The thousands of downloads we've been getting, not the hundreds anymore. We're stepping up in the world. But you want to join us with everything we've been talking about. We've been talking about the Domination Station, everything like that. Well, you can get a firsthand look at it. Go to dfsarmy.com. Use that promo code podcast. Get you 20% off each month of your subscription. It's fantastic. Everybody's winning. Everybody's having a great time. I heard a quote today from Maxi Pats, right? Our boy, you know, we know him well from baseball and everything. But he said in the podcast, I saw today in the chat, he said, NBA is becoming my cash and NFL is more like GPP to me. Those are just kind words.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, man. All right. Me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.